Blog Talk Radio.
March 24, 2015. Guys, welcome to the show. Did some changes on the way we're coming into Blog Talk as far as their audio inputs. They have a couple of different choices. We're trying a different one tonight. You guys, let me know if there's any difference in your audio or if you're getting audio. Just checking in the comments. I want to go to CNBC. If you've seen the videos since Friday, most of you guys were probably here for Friday's show. We talked about the stock market, and remember when it ended, it was down 350. In the last hour and a half, it dropped another 200 points to over 550, I think 558, somewhere right in there. And then the future stayed at 450 for the opening Monday morning at minus 450 throughout the weekend. And then this morning that changed, and they were approaching 1,000, and it opened over 1,000 down. That ended today, and it had swings, I think, of about 3,500 points. It had the ups and downs. It was the largest ever. Before it finally fell again to below 500, it was already at 3,000 points. But what happened, it dropped, it came back up, it dropped again, then they tried to stabilize it, if you guys were watching it, a little above 300. Then it crept up to 400 and then rapidly advanced towards 600 just as it was closing at 3 p.m. East Central Time. Let's just take a look at the markets around the world, and then we're going to look at the futures, because that's going to be key, and you're going to be, I hope you're being prepared, because we've been talking about this a long time, and then you saw what happened after our show Friday, and the world markets are all in what would call, you would almost call a panic mode. Things went on in the market today. The Rule 58 was implied before the markets opened because the futures were so low, and what that basically does is allow them to start trading a little early to try to stem that giant drop so that people can see one way or the other which way the stocks are trading. But the Dow closed at minus 588.40, down 3.57%. Now think about that. Over it was 550 or 560 Friday. I can't remember the exact numbers, guys. Over 3% again. S&P down minus 77. That was 3.94%, almost down 4%. S&P, guys, it's a top 500 stocks, the New York Stock Exchange. Now, if you look at what happened just in the S&P 500, you think minus 77 is not that bad, but they're not a high-end market as far as their total number. And there's a formula they use, actually, to see how to put this all in dollars. But it says that Monday ended the biggest three-day loss for the Dow ever. 1,477.45 points were shed. Think about that, guys. 3 days. The next biggest three-day loss for the Dow totaled 924, down in November 2008. The Dow has been down five consecutive days for a point loss of 1,673.9. Look at the 30-day chart. Go to CNBC. You can click on the Dow, the S&P, whatever. It'll take you to a chart page, guys. You can click on 1 day, 5 day, up to maybe 3 to 5 years on some of these charts. Look at 30 days. It said the cumulative volume traded was 13.94 billion shares for the highest volume day since August 10, 2011, when 15.19 billion shares traded. The Dow traveled more than 3,000 points within the first 90 minutes of trading on Monday. It goes on to say that 9 out of the 10 S&P 500 sectors are in correction. Energy and materials are off their highs by 20% or greater. Of course, we understand energy with oil closed, guys, at 38 and some change a barrel. I don't think we're going to see a lot of fracking continue. Now, something to really think about, the way they figured this, again, it's a formula, but it's saying the S&P 500 companies collectively lost about $685 billion in market cap. $685 billion. That's just the S&P 500. That's not the entire NASDAQ and Dow. That's the top 500 companies. Again, traded through the New York Stock Exchange. But let's look at Asia and Europe. The same thing is going on worldwide. Unlike 2007, this one is harder and more spread out across the globe. But you had the FTSE down minus 288, 4.67% down. The DAX, German, minus 476, and that's 4.7% in one day. The CAC 40, minus 247, down 5%, 5.35%. The stock 600 was down 5.33%, all the way down. You can go all the way down the list in any of this that you want to look at. Every model. Asia, a lot of people are blaming it on this. Let's look at what they're doing. The markets are closed now. They were down earlier today when we did the video, as much as 1,100 points. European markets, again, down. Oil, 38 below, it closed below $38, came back up to 38 point, and it's still trading. It's an after hours trading right now. It's one of the ones that are. Brent is closed if you look at CNBC. But oil now is currently, since the market closed at 3, up 12 cents a barrel at 38.36, and very low. Goes back to February, they say, of 2009. They say oil has ended at the lowest since that point. Look at gold. It's in after hours trading. It's down minus $2.80 an ounce at $11.50. Silver's up 0.8%. Copper is down 1%. Silver's the only thing showing just any rise at all in after-hour trading, except you saw gas at 12 cents a barrel. And when your bonds get down close to 2 and start dropping from there, the investments are going to be pulled from that sector. The U.S. 10-year bond yield is at 2.01%, just about to be at 2, below 2. You're going to see a whole shift in the way people have invested large funds in these 10-year, again, the yield on the Treasury. Now, let's go back a minute. I want to talk about this S&P thing they were talking about. They're saying it closed in correction. The market is starting to correct itself. This is going back worldwide. It said all the stocks plunged more than 3.5% on Monday. Closing off session lows and high volume trades as fear of slowing growth in China pressured global markets. It ended nearly 80 points lower off session lows of about 104. Still lower in correction territory after the tech sector failed intraday attempts to post gains. 9 of the 10 sectors are in correction territory, with consumer staples less than 1% away. Think about that, consumer staples. Again, they traded 13.94 billion shares. It says the it's the proverbial markets hating uncertainty, and you've got uncertainty in every driver, the Fed, China, and oil prices. So this is a market and pricing discovering where prices should be. This, they're calling it a correction. Friday it was a panic. They're trying to stabilize this thing. I would not doubt tomorrow we see some trades halted. Let's look at the futures. They've been down since market closed, and this is important. Futures up for the first time. This is just coming in. It's 8 plus 86. Watch the Dow futures throughout the night and into the morning. You guys are paying attention to this. The fair value, though, is at minus 48.35 on the Dow. Futures on the S&P up 9. The fair value is minus 9. The NASDAQ is up 18, but the fair value on the NASDAQ is minus 15. If you look around the world, all the European markets are down. All of Asia was down. So the point of this, same way we did it Friday, is talking about where your money is. Guys, after the show, last Friday, I had a comment in the video. We came on and we talked about it dropping below 500. They said they had attempted to go online and change something in their 401k plan or cash out or whatever they were going to do, and they could not access it. It said the system was down. And I was wondering if any of you guys saw anything like that as far as any kind of trouble in websites as far as banking or markets starting to shut down over the weekend. If you did, those are key indicators that they're trying to stem this collapse. There are people that are hesitant about capitalizing or let me say this, about getting out of the system as far as your retirement 401ks. We talk about this all the time, because the reason you're hesitant is because you get an early withdrawal penalty. And that's something, I mean, I was discussing this with a friend over the weekend. He said, I'm afraid to do anything. I'll get a little shave on the top of this. I'll lose some money. I said, you may lose it all. It wouldn't take much. The reason I know this is I saw the last time we went through this 7 years ago, and you could see it coming. Talked to a lot of people, and most of the ones, didn't listen, lost almost everything. The ones that did listen did suffer early withdrawal penalties, but they still had a very good portion of their money when everybody else was broke. And this actually started with the collapse back with Enron, WorldCom, things like that. And people were hurt hard, especially retirement 401ks. You think about the S&P losing over $500 billion in a day. Where do you think a lot of that money is? It's investments. A lot of it is your money that's being invested, that's being put into this large gambling casino. So what I suggest you do is call whoever handles your funds, the ones that have funds and retirement security, whatever it is. Call whoever's in charge of it, whether you're going through an insurance agency or bank, whatever it is, or a broker, and get the status. See how much money you've lost in 30 days. If you don't think that it's being affected, because some people don't do that. They'll have some put up and let it ride for so long and quit paying attention to the markets, and the sun comes up in the morning and everything looks fine. And that's the way it was today. Everything looked fine. billions being wiped out of the market. That's not the banker's money. That's our money, the people that have money invested. And much of this money is really, you have no choice where it was invested once you got into a certain fund. You join someone, some big powerhouse broker, they have a super fund, and then they will start buying shorts in Europe and things and collapse, basically, making money off chaos in some ways. And it always backfires. Always. So if your money's in a gambling situation, which about it seems like 90% of the stocks now are, think about it, guys. Because when, let me tell you how fortunate we were today. With the Dow opening at below minus, I think it was 10,080, guys. Some of you saw it. Was it quite 1,100, I don't think. Minus that. Open. The futures leading up an hour before it opened was minus 850 right in that area. The people that still have it in the, their money invested were so fortunate that you didn't see a almost complete slide today. They would have had to halt market trading. We had two shots over the bow, two warning shots. Everybody pay attention to this. Watch CNBC, watch the futures. If you're still have your money in the banks, you're going to be in trouble. Again, some were reporting it. They were not able to access some of their whatever software, whatever company they used to where they could go in and look at their funds and shift money around or trade or whatever they were doing, but they couldn't get into their 401k in this one instance. And so be aware of those problems because, again, the nation was fortunate today. But if they halt trading, that in itself will cause more panic. And in this case, it won't be panic on the market because they're going to halt major stocks. People are going to, and millions will wake up to what just happened, and they're going to start looking at where their money is. When the run starts on the banks, this is pre-run, except for quite a few people that I know that watch our show and watch our videos. We're in a pre-run, but it could start tomorrow afternoon. It could start in the morning. Be aware of it. I'm not trying to start a market run or a bank run or anything else. I'm just talking common sense on what's going on in the world around us. Be aware of it. Another thing I want to talk about before we go to the phones. There's information coming in on ENE News. That's where we get most of our Fukushima information. And this one is an increase in the deaths of whales rising again. Let's take a look at this. I got an email. You can sign up for their email alerts. It's saying that there are 1,500% normal death rate in whales off West Coast. 1,500% above the normal death rate right now. They're calling it a horrific environmental mystery. The government declares unprecedented, unusual mortality event. Scientists are alarmed, no idea what's happening. Really? Expert, it's all going to cascade up to us. Other dives are being reported. This is today. This entire week, these things have been filtering in. They're talking about the mortalities are unusual because there is a marked increase in the magnitude or a marked change in the nature of morbidity, mortality, or strandings when compared with prior records. Additionally, large whale strandings have increased during the months of July and August in the waters off British Columbia. Large whale strandings have continued to the present. Additionally, a common die-off was reported called a Muir. It says this is the first large whale die off like this in Alaska. The Associated Press, 30 large whales have died in the Gulf of Alaska. 6 large whales have been reported dead. Let me pull up this entire article, because this just goes to, this is focusing in one area. Now, California, Washington, or Oregon, this is, we're talking about Juneau, Alaska. That's where the Associated Press report's coming out of, saying a federal agency announced plans Thursday, more intense investigation in what caused the deaths of 30 large whales in the western Gulf of Alaska since May. NOAA Fisheries declared the deaths an unusual mortality event, triggering a new level investigation that brings with it access to additional resources. The agency said the deaths are about 3 times the historical average for the region. Julie Spiegel, a spokeswoman for NOAA Fisheries in Alaska, said a leading hypothesis for the death is harmful algae bloom toxins, but she noted that there currently is no conclusive evidence linking the two. Officials have been able to get samples from one of the 30 whales. Tara Rolls, NOAA Fishery, Marine Mammal Health, and Stranding Response Coordinator, told reporters during a teleconference Thursday that large-scale whale deaths are among the toughest to investigate, partly because of the carcasses are often floating, rarely beached, and difficult to access for examination. In Alaska, bears feeding on washed-up whale carcasses create safety concerns for researchers who want to collect the samples, and they do. I saw a picture today of one of these whales that had washed up, and it looked like about a half dozen bears were eating it. They said, without being able to conduct a more complete necropsy, scientists and researchers can look at such things as environmental factors, historical information. No, what they need to do is collect samples and test for radiation and quit going every way, every direction except to the truth. It's disgusting, guys. Without being able to conduct a more complete necropsy, scientists and researchers can look at such things as environmental factors, historical information, and mortality among seabirds or other sea creatures to try to get a better sense of what is going on. But they are limited in what they can do without better access to the carcasses. They're every place in California that took in seals and sea lions were overwhelmed. They had no place to put them. These whales are huge. They're everywhere dying. They have plenty of access. It is a lie. They probably have done the test. They know exactly that the radiation from Fukushima is killing, and they don't want to tell anybody. They do not. They're not quite ready to bring it all down. They said the officials have urged the public to report any sightings of dead whales or distressed animals that they encounter. The agency plans to work with colleagues in Canada, where 6 large whales have been reported dead off the coast of British Columbia since May, 5 of those this month. So they were, necropsies were conducted on 2 of the more recent carcasses, and the results are pending. They never come back with any results. Just like for 2 months, they've been saying they thought it was this algae bloom. Now there's no conclusive evidence between the two. It says, Ryle said, they does not appear to be a coast-wide event at this point. No, it's a Pacific-wide event. It's so ridiculous, guys, to read these reports after 3 years and 4 years of looking at information like this, even going back to the BP oil spill. It gets discouraging. It's unbelievable that they would turn their back on this and just continue to lie. But he said it does not appear to be a coast-wide event at this point, noting that large whale deaths have not increased during the same time frame near California. Yes, they have. Washington or Oregon, and they have very locally, as they have very locally in the Western Gulf of Alaska. You've had more there. You're closer to Fukushima. But they've had an increase all through the West Coast. I've done videos about people sending pictures of whales on the beach in California and up through that area. Wildlife, there's so much dead carcasses coming in from marine life. Wherever they're dumping them, it would be as probably as radioactive as a nuclear reactor by now. We were talking about thousands of sea lions in the last few years. Someone, I can't remember if they called in or was a comment, but they said that one of the places you used to go down, one of the piers there in California, and look, watch the seals and watch people fish, that now there are no seals and no fish. It looks dead. That's because it's dying. These times that we're in right now are critical. And I've been watching a lot of different things for a few years. One of the things we watch here, the different signs that are key indicators. One is when the army surrounds Jerusalem. One is the economic collapse. These are things that will be major effects on our lifestyle. Fukushima is one of the things we focus on because it talks about the destruction of the planet. We know these are key indicators. One cannot be stopped. The others are unavoidable. If the governments do not get together and try to put an end to Fukushima, it will continue doing what it's doing, and that is destroying the planet. It's got to be continually contaminating our biosphere every time you get rain off the Pacific, anywhere in the world, as it travels around. Something I was thinking about this morning, guys, I was driving and I was aware that the futures were down about 800 and nobody was paying attention. Like I said earlier, the sun was out, nice weather, hot, but nice. Nobody knew. Nobody was paying attention around me. Had no clue. And that's how fast it's going to hit. People, it's going to be just like that, guys. Blue, sunny day. And the economy is going to drop out of sight. You'll start seeing the banks collapse. More than likely, and you hate to think about it, hate to say it, you'll probably see a lot of bankers jumping out of windows in high-rises. If they're jumping, who knows, it may be disgruntled investors giving them a little help. Either way, we saw it in 1929. You've seen it before. We've been seeing it recently in a few times. But it's not going to be a stormy day because as far as the things in your life, it's going to catch you unaware. You talk to people. It's hard to, even unless they have money and you can tell them, well, we just lost 500 and something billion on the S&P today alone, you may get their attention. But it's hard other than that. But the main thing is this. It's not about just the money in the bank. It's about the effect on the society as a whole within a few days. So even if you don't have any in the bank, start preparing with things you're going to need, like food. I don't know how many remember, it was last year or the last part of 2013, I think it was in Louisiana, Mississippi, that maybe a couple other states in the area, that it was almost like a test by the government where they, the EBT cards or the food stamp cards, whatever you call them, they did not work, and they had it on TV for about two or three days, something in the system or something. Well, people were lined up in the Walmarts with buggies that were full. They couldn't get out. They couldn't take any food out. The cards wouldn't work. Again, it seemed like a test, like a probe to see the reaction. And it was bad here in the local Walmart about 10 miles from my house. They had to call the police to stop the fighting. Walmart had to call in extra people help because they were leaving hundreds of buggies with frozen food and meat and stuffing them in the buggies in the aisles and walking off because they couldn't get it. It was a panic in just a few days. It actually started the first minute they stopped working. But within 2 days, it was chaos. That's how fast this is going to happen. It won't be just EBT cards this time, though. It's going to be ATM cards. We saw it in France. We saw it in Greece. So even if you're not invested or you have 401k or retirement or anything that's about to be wiped out, be aware that when it goes down, it goes down for everybody. Everything will go down. You'll have some bartering and trading. The one thing that cash will do, it will last long enough before it becomes worthless. It will last long enough for you to acquire food and water, maybe a few other things you need, whatever your needs are, medicines, things like that. It won't last long. It won't be valuable long, but right at first, people won't be able to accept credit cards, ATMs, and you may be able to purchase them, hoping that the banks will reopen, and maybe they will. Who knows? But you may be able to use that instead of seeing it wiped out. But for you guys that don't, start looking around you and seeing what you can do to build up your supplies. Because this thing is coming. Greatest 3-day slide in history. Watch the futures tonight. It's going to be interesting. Again, CNBC, go to markets. Click on pre-market. At the top, you'll see. Watch it change. If it stays where it's at now, it should be an easy opening. But if that thing starts dropping again, you're going to start seeing a panic sale. I think the only thing that saved it from coming back below 1,000 today was they've got computer programming and you can do an automatic buy when a stock reaches a certain point. In other words, someone you can program and say for whatever, Ford or whoever it is, if that stock goes down to, say, for instance, $10, you have automatic buy set up. Not only that, you have these bottom feeders that will come in when they see these collapses and they're waiting for the bounce. So they're going to come in and put millions and millions into stocks at low prices, hoping on a gamble. But the stock markets are propped up now without gold, without a good backing as far as industry, especially here in the United States. That's why you see Detroit and places like that in so much trouble. Those big cities. They shipped out our jobs. And again, this has been planned for a couple hundred years, guys, to bring it to this point. And they've done very well. The plan has succeeded. Again, how it fits into Fukushima is, I guess, to human beings is inconceivable. Don't know who all is in charge of that deal. But I don't know what you can say or what you can do. We're working hard on this. We're going to get going out with 10,000 flyers in San Francisco this week. Then we'll have to raise funds again. I want to go further north if we can. If our banks continue to slide, we will have to halt it because they're going to close any type of trading where you're through PayPal, anything like that. Everything will be ceased. So if you see that go down, you know that we've basically stopped doing that. We'll spend everything we got in it and get the message out to who we can and hope for some type of market recovery. But it could be that close. It's that serious. I want to go to the phones. Listen to someone else talk a minute. Area code 310, caller, are you there? Caller? Let's see, area code 228. Area code 228, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, who we got?
Nick from Health Park.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Pretty good. I couldn't, I wasn't really planning on talking. I couldn't get the blog talk to work, so I was just listening that way because I've been watching all the stock market stuff.
I got you. Well, I wasn't trying to trap you there. Blog talk, again, our dashboard doesn't tell us if you're listening to just listen or to, you know, to call in. So, but you said you're in Gulfport, Mississippi?
Yes, sir.
I hear you. I lived down there for about 4 years. Love it down there.
I've just been down here a couple of years. I'm from Birmingham.
From Birmingham?
Yes, sir.
You got a question for us?
No, not really. I hadn't thought about anything to say. I had been rolling something around in my head. I don't know about martial law. I guess you could go over any kind of scenario. There's no telling what can happen. But I always thought I've seen them do it before. You could say they do it in wars, just start wars. Because for the past, say, 8 years, every couple of years they'll give us a scare, you know, on gun control and whatnot.
Right.
And really, the only thing to me that comes of it is people buy more guns. It's really, to me, not that I've seen, they might have passed one or two things, but nothing major. But if you look at what's come of it is just people having more guns. And, you know, in that letter, Albert Pike letter, says citizens defend themselves and all this. But to me, it could be that the people running things are that kind of evil. They'd rather flip a switch and watch other people just annihilate each other.
That's what their plan is. They definitely had that. They said to bring about mutual destruction of different parties, you know, Islam and Zionism and the Christians and the atheism. And, you know, and you see the race war. So that is all part of bringing us down. And you got to, and listen, when they do it, it looks like they got it timed perfectly to where they all merge together, all the disasters, war, money. You know what I mean? To where... It's an onslaught, like you're being attacked by a very brilliant enemy that knows not to let up.
Oh, yeah, they may have.
Once they start the fight.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Sure.
Yeah, they do. And most people are not aware of it. And it just the world seems to be turning and everything's just fine. And, you know, to be honest with you, I wish it was. I enjoy like down where you're at, I enjoy seeing the oceans. I love the ocean, you know, down in the entire Gulf Coast area. I've seen Huntington Beach, California. I've been to that part of the ocean, and this was before Fukushima, and it was beautiful. And so we're seeing this destruction from of the planet. We're seeing the world brought to its economic knees, which is part of the plan, and the world brought to war. Then, when the entire world is beat down in the dust, here comes the Savior. You know, we talk about it every show, but that's the plan, except that it's not our Savior, you know. So it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a complex, long, drawn-out event of multiple angles of three different wars, but it's so simple.
It is.
You know, easy to understand. Once you, like you said, you probably read that letter, and it's once you see how they plan World War One and Two, and exactly how not only the war would go, but how the outcome would be, and what would be the nation building after World War II. They had planned to put Israel back in Jerusalem, put the people, you know, put the Jews back there to create a thorn in the side and create conflict going from then on until Armageddon, basically, until Jerusalem is encompassed by armies, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a flashpoint there, that's going to put more pressure on the economy. People are going to be thinking about, man, if we're going to war, I'm fixing to pull my money out of the bank and start getting supplies. You know, mm-hmm. this could be end up nuclear with Iran or someone like that.
Right.
And so they're just little things are going to add up all at one time. And again, today people were so fortunate around the world. If the United States had went down 1,000 points, the entire global economy would have been affected, even though it was tremendously, but it would have been double the impact. But at any moment, we're going to see chaos. And the thing you said was about martial law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got plenty of people in place to handle that. And again, it ends, according to many that I've talked to, that they can declare a postponement of elections throughout the conflict. I haven't read the legal documents saying that, but I've been told it many times. And the benefit there would be they already have. We've seen a lot of things going on this summer with the military operations. We've seen the backup of different groups, even from Harry Reid's henchmen to the chaos in Missouri there, Ferguson, and what the heavy hand that was brought in it. You know, it got out of control, but it was heavy-handed, and it was to see public reaction in a small environment.
Right.
But that it won't be the same type. It won't be the same reasoning behind this chaos that's coming, because people will simply be trying. Most people will simply be trying to get food
mm-hmm.
and feed their family, and they do whatever they have to. Then you're going to have some robbing gangs and roving gangs that are taking advantage of the situation, and they're going to be doing the same thing. It's just instead of just taking your food and money, though, they probably won't probably be a very nice visit. So there's other things you have to prepare for just than food as far as that type of scenario. Or you can say it will never happen, but it will happen. We're so much more populated here than we were in the crash of 1929, and that's what this is going to compare to, but it's going to be worldwide on a higher scale to where there's soup lines, except this time there's too many people.
Right.
All this, you remember last was, 2013 when there were reports, and I know for a fact I got a letter from one of the major suppliers, the owner of a company that supplies survival food. You know, the different, you've probably seen their advertisement. But he said that the government had, he sent me a letter, said that he was one of the only ones out of three suppliers that didn't sign the government contract to give them about 90% of their product in the future and take prepayment, and he refused to do it. He's still in business, so I'm not sure what happened. But they wanted to just come in like they probably did a lot of the bullets, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They bought
You don't know the name of that company right off, do you?
Let me think about it before the conversation's over, and I will, because that impressed me that the guy would do that. And you can get what they have is different kits of, he's got different survival supplies and things like that, but you can get like a 3-month supply of dried food, you know, that's mixed water and you heat it up and different things like that, or a 6-month supply or 12-month supply, or a supply for one person or three people or five people. And it's, you know, you're talking about maybe $3 or $4 a meal, but it's all there. It's all sealed until you need it.
Right.
And, That's a brilliant idea. Do you think about a 401k or retirement that you would take a little hit on an early withdrawal, take some penalty for that? Think about your somewhere in your home or room fill with this food that you could take with that money. You know, and that's barter and trade in itself. You know, if you needed medicine or something, you could, people will trade food. You can get anything. If you got food, you can get anything. If you'll have to be able to back up your security if you do that and be very quiet about it, except inside family.
Right. It was Friday. I've been thinking about it because I only have a couple of years in my little fund I have. And it was Friday, like the morning, and I took out some. And then I saw your video that after I got off work that evening. I was right on time. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I've been looking for something like that. I should have already done it by now, but I've been looking for a place to buy.
Well, let me check something here. I may have his website and you can go straight to it.
Okay.
But yeah, he held out. But look, I'm glad you brought it up, because that would be one of the best things you could do with your money. And they also have like seed banks, an entire garden, maybe 1,000 or 1,500 seeds, or maybe more than that, in different heirloom, non-GMO seed. And I have one of those, and it's an entire year of non-genetic seeds that I've got saved, and it's I got a 10-year seal on the package. So, you know, it's hard to go wrong there.
That's a new goal.
Let me see if I can pull that up here. I've got three screens up, and if I hit the wrong button, I'm going to lose all of them. You know how that goes on Blog Talk. They are called. Let's see. I'm clicking on it now. I'll give you the address. My Patriot Supply.
Okay.
And it's My Patriot Supply, one word, mypatriotsupply.com. And they have, I'm looking at the new, I hadn't seen their site in a while. They've got a food, the stored bags of coffee. A lot of the food looks pretty good, to be honest with you. But that's the kind of thing people need to be doing right now, and not letting these bankers rip off their money.
Right.
Perfect. And I'm glad you brought it up.
That's where my mind's been for about the past week. And a couple of other nick talks that would be helpful, but mainly food. Water, of course.
Right. Well, it was on my mind all weekend, too. And I had actually done my banking Saturday morning. Because it didn't completely collapse to the banks until it was too late Friday afternoon. And I found a branch that had an open office Saturday morning and did what I had to do. And I wouldn't, you know, that's as much detail as I'll go into. But I've been thinking about it a lot in 3 days of what exactly I need, and everyone else needs to be thinking about it. It's not a scare tactic or anything. Look at the stock markets, guys. Look at what's going on. Well,
if it doesn't happen, you still have food. Hey, I mean,
it's sealed up.
It's
sealed up. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You cannot ever go wrong doing that. And it could save you from, you know, if you think about it, there's going to be places, and in just one of the scenarios, it could turn very real very fast. If the system goes down, we talked about soup lines in California. This one may be a little different. This may be soup lines outside and coming in out of a FEMA camp gate to get food and things like that. And you may have to go through certain things while you're in there and get your vaccinations and all that, because there's some disease spreading, you know, in order to get your food. And so then you're going to have to do the traveling there and back. Not going to be a lot of gas.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of objects and obstacles to go through to get there. Then you got to submit yourselves to them just to try to get a little handout for your family. Or the other scenario is you've taken your assets and you've stored this food up to where, as you're watching all this break loose around you, you're keeping your mouth shut except for your family, and you're feeding them. And you're staying out of the situations that put you in danger as long as possible. That's information. That's knowledge. And so those think about it. These scenarios are going to come real very fast. We saw it, like I said, in Katrina, Hurricane Katrina here. They had to. We had no gas or electricity. Water or electricity for 2 weeks. I'm 120 miles inland. You know how many people are affected from the coast upward? You know, well, they had National Guard and people here handing out bottled water during that time, and military rations. You know, the MRIs or MREs, those little packs. That's the same thing as their survival food, except it's a really limited palate, you know, compared to what you're looking at on the site I was telling you about there.
Right.
But
that's
as smart as you could be. You may have like an extra car or truck or something, or an old boat you're not using or something. And you look at some of these food kits, you're talking starting at a couple $100 for 2 or 3 months or even more, depending on how many people. And there's a year supply for the price of for $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a lot of security. Again, you would want to keep it quiet. I wouldn't even tell my kids that did not live here until they came home, because they're going to come home, people, because the world is going to get. Then a lot of them aren't prepared. That's what I'm saying. They're going to come home, and then you're going to tell them, well, come on in, and then you're going to sit them down and say, you're going to keep your mouth shut, and I'm going to take care of everybody.
Right.
And that's how we're going to make it through this part of this time.
Yeah,
and try to avoid, because the initial chaos is going to be the worst, I think.
Right, yeah.
You know, and the riding with the Walmart. You remember the Walmart deal? Was anybody down in your part of the state affected a couple of years ago when the EBT cards didn't work?
I think I still lived in Birmingham then, but I stay out of Walmart as much as I can be. I remember when it was going on.
Yeah.
It was
any store that took the food stamp card, and man, it broke out. I'm talking about you would not have wanted to be in one of those stores.
Yeah, I lived around Birmingham, but not in it. Where I was used to live, it wasn't anything like that really crazy. But around Birmingham, it might have been. I stayed out of that place as much as I could.
It was certain areas in this FEMA region that were hit, I think, and I'm not sure how far that extends east or west to be exact about that. But it was this FEMA region, I think. But it may have been other parts of the country. But I definitely remember the chaos, and within, like I said, by the second day, just like on the movie, you just like that. And
that's not the whole population.
Yeah. And now, you know, we got a couple hurricanes out there, possible potential hurricanes. I did a report on that this afternoon. Although Danny has fizzled out, there's two coming off of that's come off the coast of Africa that could potentially be strong. And I mentioned that I've seen this before, a week or so apart. Hurricanes come in, the first one mild, the second one be a devastator, one of the big ones, in the very close proximity to the landfall of the first one. It was like the first one almost not clearing a path, but it was creating the atmosphere. And you have a Cat 1 coming in, and all of a sudden a Cat 3 or Cat 4 follows it a week or so later. So you think about the impact on a place like Houston. The oil industry is already at $38 a barrel. They're laying off left and right. S&P 500 is getting hit in the energy stocks because of that, 500 something billion dollars today worth. But the then you have a storm hit a port like Houston again, oil refineries, and that's going to go down further. But what won't go down and what's going to create more problems is gas will skyrocket. When the refinery goes down, and you've seen this before, they'll just shut down a refinery and say, we got to redo all this and all that. And the price of gas in that area goes straight up because they got to ship it in. It's happening now. But it wouldn't take just one or two more dominoes to fall, and it could happen at any day, especially with the stock market. But these other factors are all there. We have to pay attention to them.
Yeah, that's everything at once. I really, 2 years ago, Arab Spring, whatever they called the thing, it all kind of, at the time, I knew it was other than what you saw on TV and all it is, but it kind of makes sense. I got to thinking about it a little while ago. With all the dictators getting taken down, I was reading the letter. That's what brought it to mind. I was reading the letter that is Islamic world. Now, if you have a whole bunch of different countries with a whole bunch of different dictators, in their heads, they have to control their little kingdom. They're not going to align with any other country for that to happen. They had to take down all those dictators for that to even be possible. I give a lot of stuff off that letter. Reading that letter makes a lot of stuff that's happened recently make sense. You know, when I read that and I realized, yeah, it's got to be the whole Islamic world. That wouldn't have been possible pre Iraq invasion. But
right, yeah, they created that. Yeah, they created the instability there. And I think the more that we get, they find out about Hillary's emails, you're going to find out more and more about the full extent of our involvement there, especially, of course, Benghazi. But that, man, they were tearing down these countries left and right until they got to, you know, remember Obama drew a red line for Syria and the chemical warfare, and then they bombed their civilians with chemical weapons, and then we sailed into the Mediterranean there, and one shot got fired. They said accidentally a missile got shot down, and that was it. Everybody backed off, and Assad continued. They backed out of there and let it continue because they had the perfect breeding environment for ISIS right on the border of Syria in Iraq there. Perfect breeding ground, and that's what they actually did, is that. So they destabilized that area, and they're going to bring about, of course, the destabilization has brought about chaos, especially the places that ISIS has taken over. So they hate the West. They hate America because they've been droned, their government's gone, the jobs are gone. ISIS has taken over, killing everybody that didn't go exactly the way they say, and they hate the West. They hate Britain. And in a way, you know, you can't blame the people because all they're seeing is their homes being blown up and having to run and hide or bury their kids that just got hit with a drone strike or ISIS just cut off their heads. You know, I wouldn't be very happy either. So, but that's part of the plan, destabilization. Even in the Illuminati letter, bring about the hatred between the two. Even if most of the massacring and things like that are being done by the people that want it done with their own secret army, that to bring about this chaos, that's the plan. That's what they're doing. It's working perfectly. People they're not aware of it. And we've got one other event that we need to watch. And you being from Alabama, I think it was Thursday night, they had the Donald Trump thing in Mobile, right? Okay. About 20 or 30,000 estimated people there that was there. And it was, people were really excited, to say the least. And they have been that way. He's leading across the nation in every poll. I think he was in the latest Reuters, he was like at 32%. Bush was second at 16%, and then 8% for Carson or somebody, but he's well ahead. Now, he's stirring up the cesspool that's in D.C. It's become stagnated. But I read about it. I mentioned this before, and I was reading about it this afternoon. If you study the patterns in Nazi Germany before World War II, we're going through an almost perfect mirror image. They were seeing economic instability, a lot of problems there. They were having anti-Semitic problems against the Jews. Hitler rose to power on saying he would take care of a lot of these problems. He killed and murdered his way into office, and but the people were fanatics behind him when he first rose to power. Then he started taking away civil liberties of the people that put him in office. More and more martial law, worse than martial law. But his promise was, as we heard and we've been hearing, and I really like what he's saying and a lot of the things he's doing, but it could be a trap. And the trap is this. Right. Hitler promised to get all the Jews out of Europe. That was the problem. That was what was bringing the economy down. Now, we're being promised now that the problem now is the Hispanics, the illegal Hispanics that are here bringing the economy down. And when Hitler rose to power under those promises, he took everyone's power away. Everyone's power. But what reminded me of the rally, and Trump said a few key words, and we need to pay attention to them. If anybody listened to it, he said one sentence, he said, maybe we should need to do the elections early. Now, and what he was hinting, and he would listen when he would say things like that to the crowd reaction, you know, to see if he could get a movement behind that notion, because the economy is probably going to be collapsed by the time they get through with the elections next year. Right. Unless they do something major, we got major problems a lot sooner than that. And he was hinting around at that, but why his ratings are so high, these new remarks, innuendos of maybe we need an earlier election. And he stopped and listened. I caught it. A lot of people did too. But again, I would love for someone like that to step in with good intentions. But he's talking about getting everybody and selling. You can go to the website and getting the red baseball hats. And the way they were all lined up and the people there, and it has been at other events, it was like Hitler's crowds. If they all had red hats, I would be waiting for them to raise their hand up. And again, it disappoints me because Washington needs shaking up bad. It is pathetic. And he's going to do that, too. And Hitler did, too. He would just kill off the entire part of the other party, throw them out, take over. If no one's ever read the history of Reichstag, it was the German 911, burnt down his own parliament building, ended up blaming it on the Jews and the other part, the Communist Party, and rose to power promising to get rid of that. Burnt down the building to start the war, like 911 was knocked out to go into Iraq. Same thing. But I see the same wave of emotions, and they were brought about in Germany and through that part of Europe as it spread, because the economy had collapsed virtually in Europe. It had collapsed back in 1929 worldwide, really, but they had not recovered when he started rising to power. But on two things, fix the economy, he could do it. We've heard this too, haven't we? Trump said he could do it, and his ideas are the best I've heard.
Yeah, he sounds pretty
confident. And he could purge the country, he said. Same promises, same emotion, same hype. So we have to be aware, even though we hope that it's going to be a straight-up approach to improving the nation. What's his slogan? Is build a better America, right? That was Hitler's statement, but it wasn't America. That was his political promise, build a better Germany. It's interesting to study in the rise of Hitler into power. You can see a lot of similarities, and I've studied patterns all my life, and I saw it almost instantly. But what really started me thinking down that path is we know the 10 kings are going to give their power over to the beast. And when they do that, the United States is definitely one of the major kings. So how that will happen exactly, will it be a takeover? Or will the handover be a friendly handover? What will happen to change the 10 kings' mind at the last moment? Are they in place? We know they're in place for a reason. But we've seen people change in office, come in maybe with good intentions, and by the second term, completely change everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I don't know how much different leaders of countries are all. They might be influenced by the same group of people, you know. So they might be under all the same hat. I don't know. They might be in agreement before they even make it to office. Sure. But I have about the second time I watched Trump, I had to catch myself. I had to think, because he's obviously, you know, he's not like a normal politician. He's got some, whatever you want to call it, charisma, or he's a character, you know.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking, I can't listen to how what he's saying makes sense. I have to listen to the words. I'd rather read what he says than watch the videos.
Well,
really,
go ahead. I was just going to say, if we make it to the election, he's going to win. If he makes it, and if the nation makes it without, there's no way we're going to make it to that point, not under the conditions we are now. Unless they just come up with another fake money and start printing it and spreading it everywhere and let the balloon blow up a little bigger before it pops this time. I don't know what miracle they're going to come up with, but it's part of bringing the world to its knees so that someone else can come in with a miracle. And when you see the chaos in 2 days over no food,
right,
then it's going to take up someone coming in very fast with a miracle. But they'll let a lot of chaos and bloodshed happen.
Right.
Get it beat down. Everybody's going to be beat down. They got to do that where you're, again, exhausted in every way, morally, physically, spiritually, economically. And so don't be part of the system that you just fall easily into that trap. Don't be so dependent on the system that you don't realize that part of the beast in itself, the mere dependence is going to cause trouble. Don't be dependent on anyone if you can help it. And some people cannot. I realize that some people are disabled and that they can't work. Well, it's time for their family and friends to be aware that they're going to have to step up. So start planning now. Assisted living homes, they're going to close the doors. Just like in Greece, they can't get in the hospital. They don't have the money. If you don't have the money, you're not getting in. I've seen police barricades outside the emergency rooms in Greece. In photographs. I've never been there. In some of these images where they're riding, keeping people out from the hospital, trying to get in, it was sick and dying. Those things are going to happen. I can guarantee it. Everybody can see it. And it's a psychological thing where it's just hard to admit it. Even now, with, again, 1,400 and what they say, 70 points in 3 days off the Dow. In that, even with that, we know, the people who listen to this show know that it's coming. But the world's not going to get it until that piece of plastic they pull out at that gas tank or that ATM or the grocery store or the drugstore gets handed back to them and say, sir, the ATMs are down at the banks, are down. Well, they'll probably say, well, hope we'll have them up tomorrow. That's going to give them a little more time.
Yeah.
And the doors probably won't open tomorrow at a lot of those places. And so that's high fast. I've seen it. We saw it here, saw it in the big storms. We saw it with the EBT card thing, and we saw it in history. Most of us, I wasn't alive in 1929, the Great Depression. It was rough. It's going to be rougher now because people were survivalists back then by nature. They were farmers and, you know, not everybody, but now they've wiped out small farmers, you know, small dairymen and people like that. And so that you were ultimately in their control by being ultimately sufficient to them. You know, they had you in control. Then when they pull the plug, they can sit back with all their supplies and watch the chaos and wipe out millions. The chaos will wipe out millions until they get down to the point where they're having to protect their assets and to the population gets to the level they want. Then they'll step in and take control, and those people will be slaves that are dependent on the system. Once enough of the population is wiped out, they're not going to be able to put police everywhere, especially right. In the big cities. And the people are not going to just sit there and starve to death. They're going to start going out. You may not have gas in your car. You start walking the street and trying to hope and find something, you know?
Ain't no place to be.
And it's going to not be a good place anywhere, not just big cities, anywhere, even a small town. People are all the same in every place. When food runs out, it's going to be hell to pay. And again, you've got to be so careful because you may have to, even if you don't ever tell anybody you have any, the people are going to try to break in your house just to see what you do have.
You're right.
So you got to think about maybe right in your house isn't the best place if you do stock up on some survival food and things like that. Think about that. You know, there's other ways. The same way you build a storm shelter.
You hate to think of it like this, but I mean, not everybody is made out of it. Well, not made out of. Not everybody has the same thing inside of them. You know, your neighbor might be a nice old fella, and he might have borrowed your weed, or he might have borrowed his grill, but he might not have the same stuff inside you as you have, and he might have seen you walk in with all this stuff. Times like that, he might not knock on the door. He might just try to come through the window. You never know.
Yeah. Gang up. We start talking with some of his buddies and friends so that he has a gang. It becomes a gang mentality. Mm-hmm. And then say, man, Joe's got down the road here. He's got a bunch of food, guys. And so they won't, you know, they'll come in a gang where they just take over. And once they're there inside, then that gang mentality psychologically will take over, and it may not just end with stealing your food and guns or whatever medicines you have, you know, whatever it is value that they think they can. It may not end there because it will go into anarchy where there is no law there in certain places, and these gangs will become the law. It happened in New Orleans after Katrina inside the Superdome.
Yeah.
People were found dead in the bathrooms and stuff. They had gangs running through there, and people waiting days for some help.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come in. It was a test. They didn't care. Can you believe it that people were trying to get out of the flooded side of New Orleans over to the West Bank, and they were the police had barricaded the bridge. And to keep them out of that side with the nicer neighborhoods, they shot them dead on the bridge when they were just kept walking that way to get out of that side of town that was underwater. They shot them.
I knew some buddies down here. They told me about some stuff. It wasn't a proud day.
Yeah, and you don't think they'll do it now? Oh, man. So the thing about there's two factors. One is you need something to eat with your family. The other one is you're going to need to avoid as much traffic, outsiders, as you can. There's going to be Christ shortening in times, and you're going to need to be there for your family and other people. And you'll have your moment, but until then, avoid the chaos if you can. is this stuff that you're clinging to, the that you make with your hands, or worship, whether whatever form it is, whether it's just you spend so much time paying for a certain article or whatever it is, you don't have time for anything else.
Yeah.
They'll be useless. They will be useless. But you could have maybe had a place to bug out with some food there, you know, put up that nobody knows about. And then you're going to have a lot better chance. That's just common sense.
Yeah.
And to the case, like I said, the government's going to hide in the bunkers with our taxpayer survival food and until the chaos clears.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to come in with a savior.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If you can avoid the chaos, it's just going to be a win-win situation for you. And I'm talking to everybody, you know, so.
Well, that sounds
like... Go ahead.
I guess it's a lag. A lot of times they say, you know, movement is life, but I'm not so sure. Unless you can move in a certain way, maybe there's certain ways and tools you can have to move at night and it'd be okay. But I mean, that's one thing I thought about, gosh, though, this past weekend. I meant to get some road maps. Look at where water is, if you're on foot. Because I don't know if a interstate's so good, especially on the bridge. That's a show enough choke.
Oh, man. The interstates will be a nightmare.
Yeah.
You'll have blockages, of course. Imagine people running out of gas in the Mobile Tunnel. That 10 is shut out.
Yeah.
And Interstate 10 from L.A. to Georgia and Florida is shut out.
Mm-hmm.
Just in one location, people out of gas. They can have a flat in there to back up for 2 miles traffic for hour, but that and it's so easily to control by the government.
Right, right.
They can set up one roadblock in this. You block the interstate back for 200 miles.
Yep.
People starving, running out of gas, in control, fighting one another, trying to walk out of there, thinning the population. They are in control at that point. The roads are designed, the cul-de-sacs are designed one way in, one way out. Unless you're you're a country boy and you know some of those things. But a lot of people have a favorite campsite or place they go vacation or that's out of the way maybe, you know, and you couldn't be, you know, wouldn't be a public place or not right inside the public area of a big campground or a national park or whatever. But I've seen places, you know, all across the nation that you could survive in pretty good if you knew a little bit about survival and you had some food and water or you had access to it. So, when it hits, it's too late. When the world realizes that the banks are closed, unless you're prepared, you may be so lucky that you hear about it the moment it happens and you can run in and grab some supplies and get that out of there real fast. You know, gather everybody up and start preparing, or you can go ahead and do it now. And like you said earlier, it's never a bad investment. It's not like saying buy some silver or gold, you know, or stock.
A couple of years from now, if nothing ever happens, then you've got all this food. You could eat cheap, take it to lunch, take it to work for lunch. You could eat cheap for doggone forever at lunch, not have to go anywhere, you know. You can use it. It's not like it's wasting money.
That's right. Yeah. That's going to be the only thing valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing really, you know, that we're told the gold and silver will be cursed and thrown in the streets. And why will they curse it and throw in the streets? Because stockbrokers and gold and silver dealers said, oh, when you see the stock market go down, get into gold. It's a safety net. Mm-hmm. Get into silver. It's a safety net. Well, after they kill the broker, they're going to throw it in the street and curse it because no one will give them a piece of bread for an ounce of gold. They'll say, no, I'm hungry. I cannot eat that gold. I'm sorry, but it looks good and all, but no thanks. They'll throw it down and curse it. Like I said, and the brokers will be, they better be hiding. It'll be a tar and feather at the minimum. I'm serious. Think about it. Like I said in the beginning of the show, if this thing continues to collapse, start watching for reports of these bankers jumping. They do it every time. Either they're jumping or getting thrown out by some mad people. Either way, watch for that. And
I think the most useful tool to me, though, in a situation like that, is your mind. And
sure it is.
Most people's hearts and their minds will fail. So you can have all cool little gadgets. Food is a necessity, obviously. Water is a necessity. But your mind is your best tool in that situation. And there's no other way to have your mind. There's no better way to have it than
right. Peace of mind. Have some peace of mind. And you can focus on the bigger scene then than just survival. You can, because there's going to be, when this is all coming down, it's for a very bad purpose. We know that, to bring in about a false savior. Will you, instead of just fighting and scrapping in the streets to survive, you can kind of kick back and see what is really coming and pay attention to that. Because it will. It's all coming for a reason, and it's going to be one wave after the other of events. We could see bank failures by the end of this week. Mm-hmm. It's possible, you know. It's when you start seeing that kind of slide every day, it's highly possible. You got an index in China. It's not like our index. It's 16,000 now. It's at 3,200 and losing 7% and 8% a day. They're major manufacturing, the Hang Seng. I mean, they're taking brutal hits. If we lose 500, it's 4%. If they lose 500, they're getting close to 10%. And they've been doing it for 30 days, and actually, so have we. We've been very fortunate. But the last two trading days, Friday and today, were key indicators, and they're early warning bow shots for people with their eyes open. Most people, it's not going to matter. It's going to be too late. They're not going to see it coming until it's too late.
Yeah. Well,
that's where we're at with this thing. Watch the futures. We've got about 7 minutes. Watch the futures tonight. Go to CNBC. Again, click on at the top, CNBC.com, markets. A drop-down tag will show you pre-market. It either says futures or pre-market, one or the other. And that will give you the indicators. But again, you won't be able to do a lot about it unless you can do overnight things with your 401k online, things like that. But I've heard some of that, those systems are not working that well. But guys, in the next few days, do this. Keep your car full of gas. Keep it full. Every time you go to town, just top it off. If you got two vehicles, keep them topped off. Because that may be critical to getting to where you need to get out of. Because if you can't stop and get gas with your ATM card, and then they may just stop everything, you know, if the store's closed down, because they can't take the credit card. That's 90% of their business probably now is a debit or credit card. They will, you won't be able to travel. So think about. And that's things I've been doing since Friday. One of the other things, keeping everything topped off. Because I saw it with the hurricanes, drive an hour, wait in line all day to get gas. You know, after Katrina. And this is going to be worse than that. Katrina was localized. We got devastated here, Louisiana, Alabama caught it places, but this is going to be worldwide. There won't really be a place that's not affected. What you were talking about, the peace of mind is going to be key. You're not going to be having your heart fail you because all of a sudden you see all this chaos going on and you're not prepared either. What the hell are you going to do?
Yes,
people
well,
will be having a heart attack.
Along with that, because I was in a place or two before where there was a group of us, and it was a semi-extreme event happening, but I was calm all the way through it. Other people were running manic, you know, but
yeah.
in my mind, well, my mind was affected through my spirit. And that's what God, if, I mean, that's how I stayed calm. That's the only way you're not going to absolutely go berserk to me.
That's it. That's true.
If you've got them, then your mind will stay with you.
Well, and you know that it's, if you know it's coming, it's not a surprise. And it's called walking through the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do that two ways, in terror or with confidence. But it's not, it doesn't say the valley won't be there. It's just, you know, the, you know, the fact that you knew it was coming and you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, and you can say, well, and this is what I hear this a lot. Well, I'm just going to leave my money there and I'm not worried about it. The Lord's going to take care of me. He takes care of us with his word and his warnings and his pointing and saying, here, look at these events. And by, in prophecy and revelation, it tells us these things are coming. He is taking care of you with the word. He's telling you, my, and he tells you, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The knowledge is the word. The things are coming down. When you say, and you say, oh, God, why didn't you let warn me? He's going to say, I have been. For 6,000 years, I have been. You weren't listening. The beast system is coming. It's on the door. And so this is the time. This is more worrying than, you know, an electromagnetic pulse knocking out the power. That would create chaos also. Same type, in a way. You knock out the electronic banking system. But this is a banking collapse. It won't be the money to come back and rebuild infrastructure. It won't be a need for it. And that may be why the government's not paying any attention to Fukushima. I don't know. That's just a mystery to me. I guess they think they can live in the bunkers till they die and their children die. Maybe you think they're that naive that they've been promised they can, a miracle cure for radiation where the DNA tips or melanase or whatever, monatomic gold, or where they're like they used to do in the old days to extend the lifetime. We can make you live as long as Adam, Methuselah, whatever they're promised. It's crazy. Satan never keeps one promise. Never. But guys, I appreciate you coming on late notice. I hated not to be able to do the show today at 11, again on the road. We had a good one tonight, got to talk about some important things. But again, go to CNBC.com, keep one eye on the futures. Even if you don't have money in the bank, where do you have assets that you can turn into food? It's a heads up, guys. Be safe. I appreciate you calling in from Gulfport tonight.
Thanks, sir.
We got a few seconds. Have you ever been to Ship Island or Cat Island?
I've seen them a few times. I haven't been out there yet. Some of the fellas used to go fishing out there. We'll probably go one of these days.
Cat Island's the best. It's uninhabited. It's okay. Not the park with the big fort out there.
Right.
That's where the tour boats go, but Cat Island is where I used to take my sailboat and camp. And I remember one summer I never saw another human being on the island. That's how nice it was. And
good, dude.
For hurricanes, it would be a good bug out location.
Right.
There, because it had an interior forest.
I'll see if the fellas can get out there one day before it's too late.
Yeah, take a look at it. I appreciate it, guys. We've got a show coming up Wednesday at 11 a.m. Everybody be safe.